You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by the MLB.com Shop.
Welcome to MLB.com Extras, the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim. I'm Richard Justice of MLB.com, and I'm joined by Alden Gonzalez, who covers the Angels for MLB.com. Alden, a couple of things. Let's start out by Garrett Richards. Won't be ready for the beginning of the season. A, is this a surprise? And B, is the prognosis good for a return in April, May? What do you think is going on there?
Yeah, Richard, it's not really a surprise. I think going into camp, we all figured that the Angels were going to be really cautious with how they treated Garrett Richards' rehab because he's such a big part of their rotation. And it was really, you know, given the rotation depth that they have this year and the serious injury that he was coming off of, there was really no need to rush him. At the beginning of camp, he was already kind of behind the other starting pitchers because he was still kind of like in rehab mode. His rehab is still going great. I think he threw a 50-pitch bullpen session again on Wednesday. It was his sixth of the spring. He's throwing off-speed pitches. He's throwing from the windup, from the stretch. He already simulated some pitchers fielding practice, which is coming off the mound. And I think his next step is going to be throwing to hitters in live BP. That's usually the last step before you start pitching games. So he's right on schedule. But I think Mike Socha kind of, in the back of his mind, just wanted to put it out there that, look, let's not rush this guy. Let's not expect him to be on the opening day roster. It's kind of a nominal label to be on an opening day roster because Richards is important for 6 months of the season, not really the first two times through the rotation order. I expect him to be back by second or third week of April. And, you know, given the off days, he could really only miss two turns through the rotation. So, you know, that would give him time to maybe make a rehab start, get fully comfortable with the knee, get completely stretched out. And I always figured that that was the more pragmatic thing to do in a situation like this.
And so Mike Socha has named Jared Weaver his opening day starter. And do you think he would have – what does this that honor mean to Jared Weaver? He is the veteran guy, the ace of the staff, even though Garrett pitched very well last year. What's the growth of Jared Weaver? And it's how important is this season for him as he continues to make this middle-aged transition for a pitcher?
Yeah, and Richard, I'll tell you from the jump, he hasn't really named his opening day starter. It's actually it's a running joke every spring. Mike Socha is usually the last manager to name his opening day starter, but it's just so obvious that it's going to be Jared Weaver. It can't really be anything else. And the fact that he's starting Friday's game really lines him up for opening day. So it's definitely going to be Weaver, but Mike Socha will not say that until the day before opening day. It's just kind of his style. I think he doesn't like to jinx it or something like that. But, you know, Jared continually flies under the radar because he throws his fastball at 86 miles an hour. And I think people overlook just how good this guy is, just how good you have to be to not have that velocity and year in and year out put up numbers. And you look at Jared Weaver's track record, he's been about as consistent as any starting pitcher in baseball over the last 5 or 6 years. And, you know, he's a guy who has continually reinvented himself. And the one thing they say about guys who don't throw hard, and Houston Street made this point to me recently, guys who don't throw hard, you never have to worry about how they'll succeed when they all of a sudden don't have velocity. Because guys who succeed without velocity know how to pitch, they know how to locate, they know how to set hitters up. And, you know, Weaver has just over time continued to evolve, and he's become a guy who relies so well on his changeup, on deception, on incredible location. I mean, the guy has pinpoint location. And Jared Weaver, like anybody else who gets to the upper echelon of his profession, he's got a lot of pride. He's got a lot of ego. And although he may not say it, I think it means a lot to him that he is still considered the staff ace, that he's still considered the opening day roster. You know, there's a lot of alpha dogs in that clubhouse, and I think he's definitely one of them, and I think that's a good thing. You know, Garrett Richards may eventually evolve into the Angels' ace just because his stuff is so good and he's going to be maybe a perennial Cy Young candidate if he bounces back well. But Jared Weaver has been a rock for this organization ever since he came up. He continues to put up numbers. The guy led the league in wins last year. He put on a little bit of weight this year. He looks stronger than I've ever seen him since I started covering the team because he wants to be a little bit more fresh. He wants to be a little a little bit. He wants to feel a little bit stronger when he's getting into that 100 pitch range, and I think it's just the latest chapter of Weaver continuing to reinvent himself in order to prolong his career.
Another guy who's had an interesting career arc is C.J. Wilson, and I'm sure he was disappointed about parts of last season, if not all of it. What's his preparation been? What's his focus on how to have a great year?
Yeah, and Richard, I don't know that CJ is going to want to really change much. And we talked about it before. I don't know that he wants to change much about the way he attacks hitters, the way he pitches to guys. I know the front office has always been preaching to him and the coaching staff about acquiring more of an attack mentality and just pounding the strike zone. And CJ's not really a guy who believes in that. What he'll always tell you is that his stuff is not good enough to just throw strikes. And every time he gets into that mode that he just needs to throw 60% strikes, he feels like he takes away from the movement of his pitches, which, you know, ultimately hinders his greatest strength. CJ is never going to be a guy who has a Cliff Lee type of walk rate. And I think he's proven throughout his career that he could pitch around 3.5 to 4 walks per 9 innings. But once it starts getting a little bit out of hand, that's when he gets in trouble. You know, Weaver walked 4.5 batters per 9 innings last year, led the American League. That's too much. Not even he could pitch around something like that. So, you know, this offseason he said that he did some extra bullpen work. He usually only throws 2 bullpen sessions before coming into camp. This year I think he threw 9, and it wasn't really about getting his arm in shape. It's about he needed to work on his mechanics, and the only way you can work on your mechanics is to throw off a mound. And he feels like if he could refine his mechanics and get everything perfect, he's going to locate better. And I think that's all it comes down to for him is location. And, you know, we talked about it before. You guys are more prepared going into the season or in better shape or work as hard as CJ Wolf. So he at the very least has that going for him this year.
Alan, how will is there enough at bats in spring training to give everybody that's competing for the second base job a shot? And how is Mike Sosa going to sort through that to get a look at those 3 guys?
Oh, there's definitely at bats. I mean, there will be plenty of time for everybody to get in games. I mean, look, the guys today are only going to get 2 at bats each. You know, it's really an interesting scenario, Richard, because, you know, you can't really put too much weight on Cactus League numbers. You know, it's a weird time of year. Pitchers are still working on stuff. Guys are still getting the feel for their legs and the timing. It's only a month and a half, so. You know, I don't think it would be really rational to just base your entire decision on spring training. I think Josh Rutledge definitely has a leg up on the competition. He has the most major league experience. He's a guy that the Angels really wanted to trade for, even before they found out that they could deal Howie Kendrick to the Dodgers for Andrew Heaney. But I think we're going to look back at the end of the year, and we're going to see that a lot of guys took at bats at second base. I don't know that it's going to be one guy getting 600 plate appearances the way that Howie Kendrick did the last 3 or 4 years. I think Wellington is going to get some time. I think Gio Vitella is a good candidate because he's out of options. Grant Green can certainly make his case. And look, the Angels picked up this guy, Taylor Featherston, in the Rule 5 draft. He hasn't played above Double-A yet. But, you know, none of the other candidates have really proven much at the big league level yet. So I really wouldn't rule anybody out. I think it's an open competition, and I think they're all going to get their playing time.
All right, Alan, great stuff as always, and we'll talk to you soon. Thanks.
Visit the official online shop of Major League Baseball at MLB.com/shop for the largest selection of authentic caps, T-shirts, jerseys, hoodies, collectibles, and more. Get your gear straight from the source, the MLB.com shop.